Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Laverne. God is good. I should, at this time, I'll tell you that we contacted their servant leaders in both congregations, and they have given clearance. There's nothing that they know of that's out of order, and so God is good. So we thank you, and I figured I want to get this testimony thing done first, that way you can relax the rest of the service, you know, because I never cared to be up front, especially if you had a testimony to be in your background, so that's clear, so you can relax. And I think at this time, let's stand for a word of prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, we come before you with grateful hearts. We thank you, Father, for these testimonies, all the sharing that was given. We know that everyone's journey is different, and there's struggles in all of our lives. But we thank you, Father, that you can heal us, and you can give us strength and give us victory. And we pray that you might do that for Laverne and Susie as well. We pray now that you might bless this time of sharing, Father. We thank you for everyone that's here. We especially pray that your Spirit would work and move among each one of us. As we look into your word, we ask that you might bless me, Father, with the ability to be able to share the truth with boldness and be able to share the truth in clarity. And that as we share, that we might bring glory to your name, Father. We thank you, Father, for this brotherhood. We especially pray that you might continue to lead as we have moved forward in looking at another church. We pray that your Spirit would work in that as well. But Father, we're here wanting to do your will, and we pray that your will be revealed in one way or another, and we will be at rest with whatever that is. We thank you again, Father, for the privilege we have of living in this land of freedom, for allowing us to be a part of this brotherhood, and we ask you might bless each one here. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, wait on the Lord. Sounds about right. That's what we're going to do here for a while. We're going to wait on the Lord. And this has been on my mind for a little bit. And it almost seemed like it was coincidental after we had our meeting Wednesday night. I was like, wow, okay. So when you think of waiting on the Lord, we have to realize or acknowledge that waiting isn't easy. It's hard. And the reason it's hard is because we try to do things on our own. We try to do things in our timing. And both those things are wrong. We can't do that. We get ourselves into trouble. And in an old dictionary, they had two meanings. And I'd like to share with you them now. And that is, the first meaning, it says, to stay or rest in expectation, or to stop or remain stationary for arrival of some person or event. That's waiting. You just wait. It's patience, whatever. Second meaning is to be ready to serve, to obey. Am I ready to obey God when God provides? And I realize that God's always working behind the scenes. So when the time is exactly right and everything is in place for us to move forward, he's there. In Genesis 24:27, Eliezer, who was told to go get a wife for Abraham's son Isaac, he says, and I being in the way the Lord led me. I've shared that quite a few times here lately, and you might get tired of me saying it, but it's truth. And with that aspect, the question is, am I putting myself in the way of the Lord so that he can move me? Or are you going to cower in a corner somewhere and say, oh, I can't do that. No, that's just not for me. Now, that's a trick of the devil, because we need to put ourselves in front of God and we need to say, Lord, here I am. Show me, lead me, help me. And just to help you realize that you don't take my word for it, I'd like you to turn to Psalms. And David was a man after God's own heart, and I am so blessed by all his writings. But Psalms 25, I'd like to read this chapter. It says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. This is Psalms 25. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. And the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell in ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. If you notice in this portion of scripture, there's three times it says about waiting on the Lord, verse 3, verse 5, and verse 21. And the question is, am I really waiting? Let's put it this way, am I where God wants me to be? Am I serving him? The Psalms 37, there's a verse here also. Thank you. I needed that. Psalms 37, I'd like to read a few verses there. Beginning at verse 7, Psalms 37, 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Isaiah 40, when you were reading out Isaiah, I was afraid that you were going after what I was going to look at. But Isaiah 40, there's a couple verses here I'd like to read also, beginning at verse 27. It says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, that they mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So the question is, how do we wait on the Lord? How do we wait on the Lord? Like my acronyms, of course, this past week, before my wife took off to New Jersey for most of the week, and I'm still wifeless, by the way, but not because of that. My wife was with my mother-in-law again, and it's just been one of those weeks where I think I shared with Leslie, thankfully. I was over at their place one evening for supper, and I thanked them publicly. That was very nice of yous. Not that I'm undernourished, but anyway, I took my wife out for a date, and we went to eat out. And we had a waiter, super waiter. I mean, he was there. Every time he walked past the table, he said, "How is everything? Do you need anything? Would you like some more water?" I mean, it was, to my way of thinking, it was above and beyond the average waiter. And by the way, he got tipped well. But a waiter is a servant. He's also a steward. He's one that serves. So, question again. Are you waiting on the Lord? Are you waiting on the Lord? The other thing that stood out to me, when you wait, when you wait on the Lord, you are, hey, this thing is a lot better. Thank you. You're attentive. When you wait on the Lord, you're attentive. And that, when a person who's attentive is someone who's observant, they're always seeing what's going on around them, and they're watchful. So when you wait on the Lord, are you observant? Are you understanding what God wants? Tuesday, we were at Deacon Seminar with Gerald and Regina, and we were so blessed with that service. And I'll give you a little bit of a nutshell. You correct me if I'm wrong, but the thing that stood out to me was a lot of financial issues, not all, but a lot of financial issues have a root issue of a spiritual problem. Am I correct in saying that? And that struck me because I remember Gary made this comment. He said, "We all grew up with the idea that you want to keep up with the Joneses." Well, he says, in our day and age, it's keeping up with the Martins and the Yoders. And, you know, it's the same problem, but it's just a different culture. And so godliness with contentment is great gain. And if you don't have money for it, don't spend it. And the problem is we have a very easy spend society, and it gets them into trouble because they want to be seen, they want to look good, they want to, and so this root is will destroy you. Anyway, in the discussion it said, God wants us to be stewards. And a steward is one who understands his master. You get that? A steward is one who understands his master. When his master goes off on a business trip, the steward is responsible to make decisions and choices that his master wants. So you need to be attentive to knowing what your master wants. So you wait on the Lord. A person who waits on the Lord, is intentional. And intentional means has purpose. You have a purpose. Your purpose is to serve. Your purpose is to understand. Your purpose is to be studious, to study the scripture so you know what God wants, what he wants you to do. It's also the idea of being willing, and also it's a voluntary thing. It's not something you're forced into. This is what you want to do. You're intentional. And last of all, which is, I like this one a lot, and that is, a person who waits on the Lord is teachable. And when I think of a person who's teachable, they're humble. Because a person who's teachable is going to listen. A person who is teachable, they're smart. And they're qualified, usually. If you're teachable, you know that you're going to better yourself by listening, hearing, and it's like I said before, I think I've told my children that if you meet somebody that knows it all, walk away, back away slowly, because they're the kind of people you want to stay away from. But a person that's learning, wanting to know, wanting to learn, you can grow together in that experience. So waiting on the Lord, are you serving God by waiting on the Lord? It's an active word. It's not passive, it's active. The thing that I like to ask you the question is, am I waiting on the Lord? This next question is, I don't get too far ahead of myself. Are you plugged in? Are you plugged into power? If you're waiting on the Lord, you're going to find out that you need to be plugged in to be able to have that. I'm trying to think how much I can. I don't want to get real long because I know that a person's attention span is usually around 20 minutes, and so I like to try and keep it condensed. And yet I don't want to be leaving you out in left field somewhere and not knowing where you're at. And I'm going to back up a little bit for a review. And that's why I say it's what you call test time. You know what test time is? Tell me. What's the acronym for Lord? How do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord? He is your L. Come on. No, that's Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Light, life, and love. That's the different one. Yes, it's leader. Okay, the Lord is, you know he's your Lord when he is your leader. The second, I'll give you these answers because for some reason, you're rusty or something. That's what I'm gathering. O is, he's your organizer. You let him organize your life. When he is your Lord, you're letting Jesus Christ organize your life. And when he is your Lord, he is your Redeemer. He has saved you from sin. He has saved you from death. He has saved you from darkness. He is your Redeemer. And if he's Lord, he is now your Deliverer, which is a current event. In other words, when you fail, you falter, he is interceding at the right hand of the Father, and he is delivering you, helping you to be delivered from these onslaughts. So the question I'm going to ask you now is Jesus Christ your Lord? And if he is your Lord, you're going to experience the power. And this is the power, this is a little more on the practical level, and I'm hoping you I'm just going to give you the first word so you can I'll explain it, the rest of it. When you have power by waiting on the Lord, you find it through your prayer life will give you power by connecting with God. And when you have, when the Spirit works in your life and tells you what to do and you obey, it gives you more power. It gives you connection. And also, when we worship His Majesty, we understand His will. It gives you more power. When you expect a blessing, it's what you call faith. It's, you have to have faith if you're going to have power. And rejoicing in the Lord, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So you must have these things to have power. I need 2 volunteers. Wilson, Denver, you just come up here. You know what this is? It's a power cord, all right? And we, I want you to plug that together. Plug it. Now, we think everybody needs to be plugged in to church life, right? Now, and that's good. This, if I would plug this into a power source, it would have power in it. But I'm just giving you the illustration. I want you to pull that. Oh, you pulled it. Man, you know, there's like this. Pull it again. Oh, that was simple, wasn't it? Well, this is the way some people are in church life. They think they're plugged in by going to church, being in church on time, being involved in activities, you know, singing in the choir. They're plugged in. But you know what? When we have stress, we have trials, what happens? Pull. Hey, you got unplugged. All right. I would like to give you another connection. Now, I want you to pull that apart. Come on, pull. Give it. Make it happen. I don't think you're going to get anywhere. I call this person's plugged in. You can say it, thank you. My cry is, we have too many Christians like this. And the devil knows it. And so when issues come along, they get unplugged. They just don't have it. And each one of these plugs have 3 wires. A 3-fold cord is not easily broken. I'm just going to give you some, bear with me. We have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We sang that song this morning, number 19. It was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. 3 are 1. It's not easily broken. We got power. We have those that got married. Not everybody got married. But you have a husband, your wife, and you have God. 3-fold cord is not easily broken. Right? And if I remember right, Wednesday night, it was mentioned, we have God, family, and church. A 3-fold cord is not easily broken. Now, what about me, myself, and I? That's a 3-fold cord too. And the only way you're going to break that cord is if you fall on the rock, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ becomes Lord of your life. That's the only way that that cord can be broken. Outside of that, it's not going to work. So, some people think that being truly plugged in, I would like you to understand, if you are truly plugged in, you're going to be praying, you're going to be obeying, you're going to be worshiping, you're going to be expecting, you're going to be having a joy of the Lord in your life. That is a locked-in experience. The other three that I think we need to have, this is your 3-fold cord. If you're going to be locked in to the Church of Jesus Christ, if you have faith, You have love, and you are obedient. Because true love is of God. No other source can you find true love. We have people that are trying pornography, they're trying novels, they're trying all sorts of other things, and that is not love. It's lust. But when you find an experience with Jesus Christ, you find God. Yeah, that was really good. You find love. And when you have love, when you experience this love and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will obey. And you won't be pulled apart. When stress, struggles, trials come, you're in. You're there. I want you to turn to my favorite chapter. You probably don't know what it is. You know what my favorite chapter is? Anybody? It's a chapter that we had for our wedding. Now, does that tell you anything? Got it. This guy's, he's awake. Thank you, Darryl. I would like to begin reading John 17, verse 17. It says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." What I'm trying to help you understand, we need to wait on the Lord. If you are a servant, you understand God, you're intentional in everything, you're humble, God can work in your life. But you have to be connected to the power source, and it takes, I was trying to think what that little click is. I really think Hebrews said it well. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. That faith clinches the deal. And my cry to everyone here is we need to experience this threefold cord so that we can be locked in, so we can be plugged in, so we can be involved, not just involved, but committed to what God wants us to do. And in that process, we have to learn this. We have to learn how to wait. Because God's timing is always perfect. I think it was my daughter-in-law sent this out. And bear with me. It says, God has perfect timing. Never early, never late. It takes a little patience, and it takes a lot of faith, but it's worth the wait. My prayer to you is wait. Wait on the Lord. And if we do that, God will bless you, and he will bless everyone that's around you. And that's what we're here for. We're here to glorify God. And to do that, it's not me, myself, and I. It's the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, in our lives. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that as your word has gone forth, that it would penetrate into each of our lives. We pray that you might help us to be honest and open before you. And we pray that if there's something wrong in any of our lives, that your spirit would reveal it. And we pray that we would have the courage to make it right and clear it up. For Father, we know that you love us. And we pray that you might help us to be better waiters for you. We ask these favors and blessings in Christ's name. Amen.